Chapter 2. Overcoming Destroys Evil. God destroyed the devil at the cross. Hebrews 2:14-15 says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage." These verses say that Satan was destroyed. What does that actually mean? He seems to be running around doing a job of destroying others. It does not mean to annihilate. Satan is still operating. He has not been annihilated. The word destroy is defined in Strong's Concordance as 1. To render idle, unemployed, inactivate, inoperative. 1a, to cause a person or thing to have no further efficiency. 1b, to deprive of force, influence, power. Why are we engaged in spiritual warfare? Both Old and New Testaments make a major focus on spiritual warfare. The real human warfare in the Old Testament is somewhat a type and shadow for spiritual warfare in the New Testament. The term overcome is used to describe biblical spiritual warfare. To overcome means to prevail in a legal courtroom contest. While Ephesians chapter 6 calls it wrestling, it is in fact a wrestling match in a legal courtroom setting, the good guys against the bad guys. I would like to alert followers of Jesus to the fact that as his follower, you have enlisted in the spiritual military. I want to also say that this branch of the military is not simply the infantry or air force, it is the Navy SEALs. I am not at all belittling the infantry, air force, or any other branch of military service that puts our brave men in harm's way to protect their country. But I am saying that it is a known fact that the Navy SEALs are a special force for some of the fiercest battles. The Lord asked me the question, what is the purpose of warfare from the point of view of the good guys? I felt like the Lord gave me this answer. Is it not to disable the enemy from future influence, from future violence, future attacks, from future stealing? Is it not to set his slaves and prisoners free? Is it not also to take his spoils, the wealth both material and human that he has acquired? Is it not to free captives? Consider this question in terms of World War II. The following outline summarizes this book. 1. Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected so that we could be saved and have his life inserted into us. He overcame Satan, or in other words, defeated and destroyed him in a legal sense. 2. The attack on Jesus at the cross was illegal. In short, it was an ambush to destroy Satan. Satan had no right to kill a sinless man. In doing so, Satan was deemed guilty and destroyed, at least in the heavenly places. I have been told that there were at least 21 illegal acts done by the Sanhedrin court when they tried Jesus. 3. Since God gave the dominion over this earth to man, now man must distribute Jesus' victory here on earth. That is, of course, a man with the spirit of the resurrected Jesus living inside of him. 4. Our distribution of this victory comes through our overcoming evil issues in our realm of influence. This often includes curses from former generations. 5. Our suffering can be illegal, as was Jesus, because we are justified by faith. Therefore, we are also considered without sin. However, we often must go through the overcoming courtroom process, which includes suffering, in order to prevail. 6. Jesus told us in Luke 11 that when we overcome a strong man, we not only defeat him, that spiritual being, but we also take his spoils. Spoils include the souls of men. 7. To confirm this, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that he dies so others may live. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that the eyes of the unbelievers have been blinded by spiritual enemies. Then he went on to say in chapter 4 that the light of the gospel is in us and comes out of us as we are crushed. He said, "I die so that you may live." 8. The new heavens and new earth cannot come until the gospel has been preached to all nations. The gospel cannot be preached to all nations or people groups until the blinders have been removed from their eyes. 2 Corinthians 3-4. The blinders cannot be removed until there has been enough overcoming to pull those blinders off. As I mention in another chapter, Revelation chapters 21 and 22 show the kingdom of God coming gradually, then suddenly. Matthew 11:12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Footstool. I have heard people disagree with this idea I expressed above, that we as humans on this earth can really have any eternal effect on the evil spiritual forces at work on this earth. They rightfully say that Jesus completed the work against evil at the cross and resurrection. However, as I express in this book, Jesus and the Father God do not have authority to operate here on earth except through us and the Holy Spirit in us. The amazing scriptures that so clearly confirm this have to do with God's footstool. Psalm 110:1-7 says, "The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore he shall lift up the head." Hebrews 10:12-13 Amplified Bible says, "Whereas this one, Christ, after he had offered a single sacrifice for our sins, that shall avail for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, then to wait until his enemies should be made a stool beneath his feet." Notice the above scriptures say very clearly that after Jesus rose from the dead, he was seated at the right hand of God and waited until someone destroyed his enemies. The word footstool in the Old Testament means to put a foot on a vanquished foe. In the New Testament, it means to stand upon and crush. I ask the Lord that if the Father is seated in heaven, and if Jesus is seated at his right hand, then who is here on earth doing the judging? He quickly gave me an understanding in John 16 that I had always had a difficult time understanding. John 16:7-11, NIV 1984 says, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned." Notice in this scripture above that the Holy Spirit inside of us is the one who finishes the judgment process on satanic beings. What is overcoming? Overcoming is a major topic in the Bible in both Old and New Testaments. As I mentioned earlier, overcoming is winning a legal case in a heavenly courtroom. God gave us power to overcome. It is difficult enough to imagine the power of God that was demonstrated in creation. Just imagine God, Jesus, speaking and those words creating everything from nothing. However, overcoming is even more powerful than that, because it utilizes the power of resurrection, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. See Ephesians 1:19. Now we are distributors of Jesus' overcoming power. But overcoming is not just making it out of a dark tunnel with our skin still on. No, it is being the victor over another in a wrestling match, disabling him, and then taking the key in his pocket and going to the prison to let many prisoners out. I have a strong warning here. This wrestling match can be very deceptive. More often than not, it seems like a normal earthly suffering. It seems like things in one's life have gone bad. Look at Job. He had no idea that Satan was behind his suffering. However, when Job finally overcame, not only was he set free, but others were as well. Overcoming is a legal matter, a guilty verdict against Satan, or against a curse, or a demonic being under Satan's control. This legal verdict not only breaks the evil power over your life, but also over the lives of perhaps thousands of others who have also been under that evil control, perhaps the same curse or the same demon. You literally take all the property of that demonic force. Luke 11:20-22 says, "But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils." 1 Chronicles 26:27 says, "Some of the spoils won in battles they dedicated to maintain the house of the Lord." Revelation 18 describes that property. It speaks of much material wealth, but also the souls of men. Revelation 18:11-13 says, "And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron and marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men." The heavenly courtroom. What if a sheriff came to your door to serve you with a summons to appear in court for a crime you did not commit? You noticed that the summons had your name on it. You would have to go to court to prove that the person for whom the summons was intended had died, and you just happened to have the same name. You then discovered that the person who accused you of the crime would be jailed if you could prove your innocence. So it is with you as satanic forces bring trials and sufferings into your life. You can defeat them in the heavenly courtroom. You can let all interested parties know that the person who committed the crime, the sin, or the curse has died, and that this accusation is illegal. You may have the same name on the surface, but you are a new person, a new creation, born anew. The old man had died. You are a resurrected being over whom satanic powers and curses have no power. You show them the Word of God and the Ancient of Days. The judge makes his verdict in your favor. Your accusers are arrested instead of you. Colossians 2:13-15 ESV says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." However, the courtroom experience took longer than expected. It took a toll on you, tempting you to grow weary and to even get you to agree with your accusers. Just make sure that your testimonies, the words of your mouth, do not convict you of the crime. Keep your words rooted in faith, calling those things that are not as though they are, like Abraham did. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Do not hit the delete button by your words. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If you are a born-again child of God and walking in his Spirit, defined later, then it is illegal for the curse to come on you. It is illegal for the demon or stronghold to affect you. It is illegal for sickness to overwhelm you. Why is it illegal? Because through the blood covenant, Jesus took on himself your sin, your curse, your sickness, and your strongholds. They were all put on him, and you were reborn into a new race, the new creation, which is no longer subject to the effects of sin and death. You are justified. Romans 5:9 says, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. But you may say, why do I still feel these curses, etc.? Great question. Satan's goal is to deceive mankind, and he has indeed deceived many. However, the fact that it is illegal does not mean that you will not feel the effects of it. Sometimes God will keep you from the effects, but often he will not. Why? Because feeling the effects of the illegal attack is what gives you the opportunity to overcome them, declare them illegal in the highest court in heaven, and forever deprive those curses and demons of their power to perpetrate them again. It's about ambush as a military tactic. In fact, when you do overcome them in your life, that also brings in the kingdom of God to this earth in the now. It is up to us to declare our curses, our suffering, unlawful. Matthew 16:18-19, Amplified Bible says, And I tell you, you are Peter, Greek Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it, or be strong to its detriment, or hold out against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. The definition for bind or bound in the Strong's Concordance is to put under obligation of the law, duty, etc., when one is arraigned or goes to law to win the case, maintain one's cause. To further explain, God knew that man would become independent and sin. He knew that his creation, angels, and other spirits would rebel and attempt to inherit the earth and disrupt his plan for God's kingdom here. But how could he defeat the fallen angels, Satan, and demons, and still be true to his word of giving this earth to man? He would have to make it attractive for Satan to kill the Messiah. When Satan did engineer the crucifixion of Jesus, Satan broke the law, because he killed an innocent man, a man with no sin. 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The resurrection of Jesus did far more than we can comprehend. When Jesus was resurrected, he was the firstborn of a new race, one that was no longer under the dominion of Satan. Jesus is last Adam of a new race. We, as part of that race, now have dominion over Satan. Since Jesus bore all our sin, took our curses, and we are now part of the new race, it is illegal for Satan to put curses on us. Therefore, when we find ourselves experiencing the effects of the old race, the effects of sin and curses, we have the choice of making it illegal, thus putting the same defeat on demons in our realm of influence that Jesus put on Satan. We are to be distributors of Jesus' victory over Satan. The New Testament says that we are to glorify Jesus, or to unveil Him. Not only are we to glorify Him to people who need Him, we are also to glorify Him to Satan and his underlings. The following is a quote from Watchman Nee's book, God's Plan and the Overcomers. The failure of the church. The reason for the church to remain on earth is to maintain and demonstrate the victory of the cross of Christ by binding Satan in every place, just as the Lord Himself, the head of the church, bound Satan at Calvary. On the cross, the Lord has already judged Satan according to God's law. Now God entrusts to the church the task of executing that judgment on earth. Knowing well how the church would affect his defeat, Satan began to persecute and kill the church. He later changed his tactics to deceive the church with falsehood. He is a liar as well as a murderer. Yet the church fears neither his smiling face nor his angry face. The book of Acts is a record of life out of death for the church. God utilized the attacks of Satan to demonstrate through the church the victory of Christ. Unfortunately, the church gradually failed, as shown in such instances as the lie of Ananias and Sapphira, the greediness of Simon, the creeping in of false brethren, the seeking by many believers of their own things, and the forsaking by many of the imprisoned Paul. God looks for overcomers. Now, whenever the church fails, God finds a few in the church called to be overcomers that they might hear the responsibility which the church as a whole ought to but fails to bear. He chooses a company of the faithful few to represent the church in the demonstration of the victory of Christ. He has his overcomers in all the seven periods of the church, as represented by the seven churches described in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. This overcomer line is never cut. The overcomers are not some special class. They are simply a group of people who conform to the original plan of God. The principle of overcomers. Throughout Bible history, God has always chosen a few to overcome for the many. It is similar to the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant over the Jordan, which stands for death, so that the waters would move back and allow the rest of Israel to pass over to the Promised Land. The following is a quote from J.R. Miller. Christ is building His kingdom with earth's broken things. Men want only the strong, the successful, the victorious, the unbroken in building their kingdoms. But God is the God of the unsuccessful, of those who have failed. Heaven is filling with earth's broken lives, and there is no bruised reed that Christ cannot take and restore to glorious blessedness and beauty. He can take the life crushed by pain or sorrow and make it into a harp whose music shall be all praise. He can lift earth's saddest failure up to heaven's glory. Do you feel unworthy, or perhaps have a failure mentality? Do you feel like perhaps you have not pleased God in the past? Do you feel like you could not possibly be used by God to overcome a spiritually evil curse or sin? Has your religion or denomination disciplined your brain to think and accept lies about what the Bible says about God, His love for you, and the work that He did at the cross to recreate you into a new person? When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he was the firstborn of a new race of people, scripturally called the new creation. You are also a newborn person. This was a supernatural miracle. This race is no longer under the dominion of Satan, the world system, and your old flesh nature. The New Testament confirms this in many places. It says that old things have passed away and that all things have been made new. God, who was resurrected, now lives inside of you, and that qualifies you for things that might otherwise be or seem impossible. Whatever Satan throws at you is no longer legal. It may hurt for a while, but if you stand on the truth of the Scripture, amazing things will happen. Just dig into the New Testament and allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to renew your mind and your thought life to truth.